Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Brace yourselves for unknowable horror, because the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program has returned. Yes. Nerdy Show's beloved RPG audio drama of black comedy and Lovecraftian horror is back with an all-new series, a chilling tale called The Terrible Secret of Lot X. Head to CthulhuMystery.com or find the Call of Cthulhu Mystery program wherever you procure fine podcasts. Succumb to the maddening call of Cthulhu.
The following program is presented by The Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 167, and I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Starr. And with me is the hard man with hard opinions, AFLM.
Hi.
And we have our security guy, Greg.
Hola.
And our king baby duck, Evan. Why the sighs? Why the sighs, Evan?
Game 7.
Oh.
For those of you at home, Game 7 means hockey. And the Bruins lost, so we're all very sad, which means if you remember, we were going to say, hey, the Bruins win, we're going to talk about the hockey anime, but they didn't. They didn't win the Stanley Cup, St. Louis did, so we're not going to.
Yeah. we lost bad. Like, that was an awful, awful game.
We didn't even show up.
Yes, we did. Dude, the Bruins played perfectly fine until they started, like, breaking down because we started getting goal shot on us, because it was Bennington. Bennington played really, really, really well. If Bennington didn't play as well as he did, we would have won that game. Hmm. Because we spent 75% of the game into the St. Louis zone.
And we've lost every fan who isn't a Bostonian.
Well, no, not even a Bostonian, not even a hockey fan. So yeah. We still can keep some of the Canadian fans, because they like hockey. So.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yeah. We love the hockey up there. Yeah, you know what? That's what it's all about.
Hey, I don't know if Sean would really appreciate that that interpretation of Canadian.
Yeah, only we can do that, because we're part Canadian.
No, I'm also French-Canadian ancestry.
No.
So it's okay.
Not French-Canadian. Canadian. listen to the words I'm saying, Evan.
So this episode we're gonna talk about E3 and the stuff that was covered there. There was a lot of cool stuff that came out of there.
There was a lot of cool stuff.
That was
a lot of cool stuff.
Not a lot of it was from Japan too. I was completely wrong about E3. I thought it was gonna be a tech conference.
Like an entire tech conference.
Yep. Yeah. And it wasn't. So
it was games, it was games. More games.
We'll get more into that later, and there's going to be a lot of stuff that
I guess talk about all three things that were important about E3.
Yeah, and then we can talk about stuff that we hated too.
Oh yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of stuff we hated. So unfortunately, I'm sorry, Wicked fan Mike Megadaffy. I don't think you're going to be getting much hockey anime talk today, even though I promised you that that there would be a little bit. Maybe we can revisit just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Hey, remember when we had that hockey anime idea going on?
Yeah. Well, like you said,
don't remember
what we were doing. We had it written down somewhere, but... actually, no, we didn't. We created a Google Doc that was shared amongst everybody. Say, all right, any ideas, put it into this Google Doc. And it remained blank. I remember the majority of, like, the skeleton of the story.
I do too.
It was very,
Shonen.
Eye Shield 21.
Mm.
I would say yeah. be the closest thing to it.
And Eye Shield 21 and what was that? Rugby anime?
Oh, the, All Out?
All Out. Yeah, that super gay one.
It wasn't that gay.
It was super gay.
I don't know. I don't think I saw it the same way you did. But let's talk about some news. Ring the news bell.
She's in the box. She's in the box still.
I totally forgot.
So the bad news is Food Wars, the manga, is set to be concluding within the next couple of weeks.
I think that's great news.
Yeah, that's
news.
Not bad news at all.
I think that's great news.
when
no, and that's not a bad thing, yeah, either.
When somebody from Japan is able to say, my story is ending, guys, that's great. Because then we don't get this endless story of just crap that doesn't make any difference to the actual progression of the story, and then the writer of the story dies before they actually finish their story because they just wanted to keep going.
Who died?
High School of the Dead.
Wait, yeah. What happened to High School of the Dead?
The author died before he could finish it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, and we're all worried about Berserk as well, because damn, man.
You know what story they need to end? One Piece.
It is. It does have an ending.
I thought they were still going with it.
No, like 3 years ago, he said it's about 75% done.
Okay. How many more years until the actual...
It's been running since 1990, right? I think One Piece has been running since 1990.
Okay.
And so it's been running for 20 years. What's 75% of 20 years? More years we have. It's probably about 5 to 10 more years. I would say 5 to 7 more years of One Piece.
I'm going to do the math real quick.
Because apparently it's in its final arc.
I'm getting... That can't be right.
Yeah, no, you what, 75% is 15 of 20, so...
Oh, yeah, so another 5 years.
Yeah, he had his phone calculator.
Yeah, so I would say... because One Piece, I believe, is in its final arc right now. So there is one person who does know the ending. Well, that's... The creator knows the ending. I don't even think the editor knows the ending. But he gave the ending as a make-a-wish for a kid. So he told the ending as a make-a-wish to the kid, and then the kid passed away, so it died with him. So.
Oh, man.
Yep.
That's sad.
What a great
You will make-a-wish. Die with this secret!
That is a totally amazing make-a-wish.
That's a great make-a-wish.
I mean, yeah, that it is. I'm saying for the kid, it's sad.
Oh, no,
yeah,
it's a terrible story. Oh, yeah, it's an awful story, but if worse comes to worse, and he had a make-a-wish, and he spent it on finding out what the ending of One Piece is... That is a great make-a-wish.
But like, again, so that's the good news. Food Wars is ending.
Yeah.
another good example of this was Terraformers. Because the Terraformers manga made it all the way up to volume 20, and then he was just like, I'm sick, and then he wasn't working on it anymore. Well, guess what? July 21st, volume 21 is coming out. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing ever. Terraformers is actually coming back. Mm-hmm. And then we're getting more Black Lagoon, I think, eventually.
Yep, Black Lagoon's coming back in September. But the better news is apparently there are reports that there will be a fourth and final anime season of Food Wars coming out this fall.
Final? I didn't know that.
It's going to complete the entire manga.
Hmm. Okay.
Wow. I didn't know that the anime was as caught up as it was, I guess.
Apparently they only have to animate like 99 chapters, which when you look at the length of the chapters of Food Wars, that makes up almost 24 episodes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, because that's what I'm finding out about We Never Learn. I mean, We Never Learn like eats up chapters like in the anime.
Yeah.
They fit.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. Like I pointed out in my review, like it fixes a lot of the pacing issues that I have with the original manga.
Kind of. I don't necessarily agree. Cuz I like the manga.
I like it too, but I feel like the flow of the anime is a little bit better.
I think what the anime has to offer for We Never Learn is the animation. Because I think they're able to animate the facial expressions of the characters very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really working for the animation of... Oh, and some of the art too. Because I noticed there's a lot of like really strange quirks that the artist of We Never Learn has. Like he can't draw feet. Like that's like a huge thing, and it's like, okay,
is Rob Liefeld?
Yeah, well, kind of. Like, it's just like, well, if you have a character who's in a swimsuit the whole time, you're going to have to know how to draw feet because you don't swim in shoes. Like, so it's just like what do you
do? Yeah, so you do what Rob Liefeld did, and he drew rocks in front of everybody, in front of everybody's feet.
Yeah. No, but he has, like, some weird artistic, like, his hands are amazing. Like, he draws hands really well. And it's just like, oh, but.
He's got a hand fetish.
But other, maybe. his other appendages are just like, eh. You're right.
So it's kind of like the opposite of other manga writers. Like, they do a good job drawing the feet, but hands can be a little bit.
Yeah, you can always tell. You can always tell a manga artist who cannot draw feet because they just like never draw them in panel. It's just like, man, dude, like you're making it so obvious that you can't do that.
Go back into go back to the 90s and look at any Rob Liefeld comics, and you will find a very poorly drawn Captain America.
Well, besides the Captain America,
where you cannot see his very poorly drawn feet because they're never drawn at all.
Yeah.
But you could also go to the new 52 Hawk and Dove comics, which are terrible, and look at the feet that he drew there. They're literally triangles.
But Rob Liefeld is such a nice guy.
He is. He's too nice of a guy. It's too bad that he made Deadpool.
He's too nice of a guy to draw such horrible artwork.
Stan Lee loves him.
All right, so apparently a character from last year's hit Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai has been appointed as City PR Ambassador.
Wait, okay.
What?
Like a fake character?
Yeah.
So the character of Mai Sakurajima, who won the Waifu of the Year Award, I think, or Best Girl over the Crunchyroll Anime Awards, was appointed as the Summer PR Ambassador for the Shonan Fujisawa Film Commission at a ceremony on... let's see, this was back on June 1st, and it's to celebrate both the upcoming release of the next volume of the light novel series, as well as the upcoming movie, Rascal Does Not Dream of Dreaming Girl.
Hmm. Huh. How's she doing as a representative?
I think okay.
I don't agree.
Although a lot of people don't seem to notice her.
Yeah. I agree with her wearing bunny suit policies.
All right. Well, okay, how about this? There's actually going to be a legit Studio Ghibli theme park, and it's planned to open sometime in 2020.
It's about time.
Actually, no, wait, 2022. It's going to begin construction in 2020.
Tomorrow?
Yeah,
wow.
Tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Raising a theme park in 2 years is very impressive.
Considering that it's going to be more like a, you know, not like a hardcore ride Disneyland, Disney World kind of theme park. I mean, if you look at what kind of things that Hayao Miyazaki and Toshio Suzuki and the other guy I can't seem to remember right now.
Goro Miyazaki.
what they created, you know. I mean, you can do sort of like the teacup ride sort of thing, but most of the rides would be more of a relaxing sort of thing.
Are you saying that you wouldn't want a roller coaster where you ride the dragon from Spirited Away through the
Oh no, I would love that.
Hotel? Like, that would be amazing. What other kind of rides would be? Could you, or like, grab onto like a plush Totoro and like fly through the air?
Oh, that would be so cool.
A cat bus tram?
Yeah.
To take you around the park?
Yeah.
Probably, like, something to do with Soot Sprites, because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Soot Sprites would be, like just characters that they would paint on all the restaurants and stuff. So, like, every time you go into, like, a little eatery in
all
the park.
All of the signage.
Like, yeah, there'd be, like, little Soot Sprites.
You must be this tall to ride this ride, a stack of Soot Sprites.
Yeah!
Or be so cute.
That sounds cute.
Or the little Totoros. Like, the little Totoros stacking up on each other.
The little tiny Totoros. Yeah, okay, the bunny Totoros.
Yes.
I could see that. We should design this theme park.
We should.
They already got people to design it, and it looks really impressive what they want to do. They're going to be bringing in Howl's Moving Castle. It looks like they're going to recreate... It would be really cool if they found a way to actually make it move.
Is Billy Crystal going to be there?
That would be awesome, too.
So you guys, you said it would be almost impossible for them to, like, raise it within 2 years, but, like, Disney was able to do it with, like, Star Wars World, right? They did it within, like, a year? If I'm correct, I'm probably super wrong.
Did they?
I thought it was Star Wars.
It 2 years. It took them a long time to just do Pandora. It took them like 5 years to do Pandora.
Yeah, but
yeah, what a waste of money that was.
But that one has floating rocks.
I guess so. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, I mean, I don't think there's going to be as much
See, now I'm curious. I got to go on the interwebs to find out.
Research for us, Greg. Research.
That's what I'm here for.
Be useful.
Hey, stop playing Siege.
Oh, man. Caught me again.
That was like a really lame moment that you two just had.
Nerd!
Me and Greg play Siege with each other, so it's that's their joke.
Oh, okay.
I understood that reference.
All right. Next piece of news, G-Kids is about to get triggered because they just announced that they will be releasing the Studio Trigger movie Promare this September in America.
That's interesting.
I love Studio Trigger.
Yep.
But I'm not excited for this movie.
I've heard good things. I've heard really good reviews for it.
Is this the one where Kamina is the main character?
Yeah, well, yeah, not Kamina.
Not Kamina.
It's totally just Kamina. Yeah, it just looks, I don't know, shoddy. Like, it looks okay. Like, it there's nothing in it. Like, I watched the trailer and I was just like, it looks cool. It looks like Studio Trigger, but what are they bringing to the table?
It's not Little Witch Academia, like the first Little Witch Academia movie. And it's not Inferno Cop.
Like, literally all I'm seeing is, like, it looks like they put Kamina in a movie. And what do you have, Greg?
No, I wanted you to finish out your...
No. You look like you have something. Like, what'd you find out?
So the lands were announced, according to Wikipedia, the lands are called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They were announced August 15th of 2015. They started construction April 14th of 2016. The Disneyland version opened like 2 weeks ago on May 31st. And that was at Disneyland Hollywood Studios. And the Florida version is scheduled to open August 29th of this year. So
about three years to construct.
About like 3 years for construction.
But just one land.
Yeah, for just a land.
Just one, yeah.
Yeah, not 2 years.
So this might be a small theme park.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, it probably will be.
I can't imagine.
But Galaxy's Edge, I think, is very detailed, and they dumped, like, so much money into this.
Yeah. You would totally want a detailed Miyazaki world. That's the whole point of a Miyazaki film, is that, like, even down to the food.
But they also had to train actors, and, like, you had to train those people to be, like, the
stormtroopers.
Yeah, the stormtroopers and all the everybody in the new world.
This is how they walk. This is how they turn. This is how they shake
their
booties.
Yeah, you have to do all the choreography and everything.
Did you see the video online where, like, a little girl went to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge dressed as BB-88 and two stormtroopers stopped her and took her to Kylo Ren because she was a BB-88 robot? It was so cute.
Yeah, that is cute.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to see how much that park cost, but I thought I heard it was like $1 billion.
Oh, man, that was gonna be my astronomical number as a joke. But
no, I think they were serious about that because, like, Disney can afford it.
Can you imagine just dropping $1 billion?
And
like,
it doesn't cost them much. Yeah, they make that money so quick.
Yeah,
yeah, they'll make that back like no problem. And like literally 1 billion people will walk through there in a weekend.
They've already made their money back.
All they need to do is just buy a pretzel and then
and they made their billion.
If one person buys a Disney pretzel shaped like Mickey and it's too small for $15, then they'll make
that.
How
much you spent last time you were down there?
No.
On a pretzel? How much was that pretzel, John?
On a pretzel? I don't know. It's probably like $4 to $6.
Jeez.
What were we talking about?
Came with mustard.
How much the park would cost?
No, I know.
Oh.
But before that, we were talking about an actual news story.
That's why I was afraid to interrupt, because this would happen.
No, I know, but this that was really interesting, and I really liked it. Evan, you remember everything. What were we talking about?
G-Kids.
We were talking about G-Kids.
Yes.
G-Kids getting Promare.
Yeah. So I've never even seen a trailer for Promare.
You haven't?
I've seen a poster.
I've seen a couple of trailers. It looked really good.
That's how I know Kamina's in the movie. Mm. So, like...
Wait, what?
Kamina from Gurren Lagann.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They basically took his model and they put him as the main character in Promare. So...
Fair enough.
Like, you watch the trailer and you're just like, okay, Kamina's in this movie. Like,
well, he was also in Kiznaiver, except he had pink hair.
So I thought you said Communism, the movie, and that's why I turned it. What?
No, we watched that one last episode.
Yeah. That was a Funan reference.
For those who haven't...
Don't joke about that, Andrew. It's very offensive.
It's not. It's communism, man. Communism happened. It's
And it sucked.
It's still it's still happening and it still sucks.
But you know what else sucks? Another horse girl's dead.
Oh yeah, I heard about
this. So okay, and when you when you sent us this story, I was just like, okay, this probably was happening like every single year. And every single day of every single year, but we never had an anime to care like about it.
Yeah, right. There's so many dead horses.
So I'm sure it's happened a lot, but they're just slowly dying now because one, it's their time. Two, now everybody's taking notice because there was an anime about these horses.
Yeah, and not to mention, too, you got to think about the racing horses that are in Japan. Japan's much significantly smaller than America. So, like, if America made a show about horse racing, like, there would be a lot of horses to pick from because
they did. It was called Luck. It starred Dustin Hoffman, and they had to cancel it during the second season because too many horses were dying during production.
Oh.
Oh my god, goodness.
Because they made them the animators. Like, work, horse, work. And then it just died like a normal animator does.
Yeah. Outsourcing our animation to all of them horses.
Yeah.
They work for carrots. They think it's a good idea, but then they die and PETA gets mad.
Fucking PETA. But anyway, the one that died this time was Biko Pegasus, who passed away on June 11th at the age of 27.
I literally think this horse was a background character.
Yes.
Like, a little bit, but she was voiced by Ami Tanaka, who does the voice of Umaru-chan.
Oh. Wow, that's... I saw the picture and I was like, oh, that horse girl is cute, you know, like, and... Just like the rest of them.
Yeah, like I. Yeah, exactly. I just barely remember a horse with wings. Like,
Pegasus.
I don't know about that one.
All right. Well, how about we move on to Into the West, because there is a lot
Into the West
of Western animation. Yeah, Western animation news.
Perfect transition from horses into the West.
Second season of Love, Death, and Robots has been greenlit on Netflix.
Surprise.
I know. I'm not surprised by that at all because they can literally just take any animation that they want and put it into it. That being
said,
was
popular.
That being said, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I watched the good ones.
I can't watch it when my wife's around. She'll be very upset.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched the good ones.
Yeah. Did you watch Suits?
No, I didn't watch Suits.
So you didn't
actually.
Watch the best ones.
Yeah, okay.
You watched the good ones, but you didn't watch the best ones. Suits was my favorite.
Okay.
Did you watch the Fridge one?
The Fridge?
The one with...
with Topher Grace.
Topher Grace and Elizabeth Mary... Mary
no,
Elizabeth
no,
Winstead.
No, no. The one where... Yeah, the one with the society in their fridge?
Yeah.
No, I didn't
You didn't see the best ones.
Okay. Well, I watched the ones that people told me to watch, but except for the ones that you told me to watch.
Yeah. So. Story of
So basically, life. You watched the ones where, like, this one's got boobies, that one's got boobies, that one has boobies.
Nah. I really, really, really liked the first one the best so far. Like, that first, like, literally episode one.
You haven't seen Suits?
Like, I feel like that one could be its own universe. Like, that could be spun off into its own series.
They do. It's called Pokemon.
Yeah. That was just adult Pokemon.
It was. Yeah.
Which is Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter is adult Pokemon.
So it's kind of true.
Tell it the Fox family. All right. Oh, wait. They don't exist anymore. All right. Apparently, the animated series... Whoever watched Daria?
I didn't.
No.
But my boss used to be an animator on Daria.
Ah.
Really?
No,
okay.
A past boss of mine. I still work in the same like job that this boss is in, but he's not my actual boss anymore. So, but yeah, he used to be an animator for Daria.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, apparently they are going to be doing a spin-off series that's going to be focusing more on the character of Jody. And this is going to be one of the first of a few spin-off shows within the world of Daria. Apparently they're going to make a Dariaverse or something like that.
That's odd.
Yeah, wouldn't that just be more episodes of Daria?
I don't know. Well, apparently this one looks like it's going to take place like with them now in the working world. So I would be curious to see what they have become, you know, during this, you know, after all this time since we've last seen them.
They should do that with King of the Hill.
Yeah.
I would love for them to do that with King of the Hill.
That would be great. As another side note, the my boss animator boss's college roommate was the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gerard Way?
Yep. No way. Yep. Gerard Way was his roommate. What? And then he went off and was My Chemical Romance. He was like, what the heck, man? And then
he makes comic books.
And then he made Umbrella Academy. And he was like, what the heck, man? Yeah. A little louder that time. So.
All right. Awesome. So, after a little bit of speculation or rumors, it has been also confirmed that The Boondocks is going to be coming back in 2020.
That's a good thing.
I do like The Boondocks. That is a fun show.
Mm-hmm. Sony Pictures Animation, they're going to be doing it again. Aaron McGruder is back as showrunner. It looks like John Witherspoon will be back as granddad. No word on if Regina King is going to be playing Huey and Riley again, what with her, you know, crazy schedule now that she won the Oscar. But, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, they managed to get her because she was excellent as both Huey and Riley.
I don't see why she wouldn't. That was part of what made her so awesome in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, everybody knows her for that voice, or those voices, as I should say, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, I hope she does.
I like the Boondocks.
Yeah. As far as I remember, too, like, every season of the Boondocks held up its same quality and like and writing, mm-hmm, and what
pretty
it
much
was.
I mean, season 4, which McGruder was not part of, it had its flaws, but the series from the former series finale of that I remember being really funny.
Yeah,
so yay to that. And then one more little piece of news, and I did touch about this for a split second on the previous episode of Wicked Anime, but Kevin Smith has hinted that he may be trying to bring back the Clerks cartoon for its 20th anniversary.
Dude,
that would be awesome.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So the best thing about Clerks was the animated series. Like, seriously, well, I am not a fan of the Clerks films.
But really? I love them. I kind of relate to them because of the job that I do outside of all this stuff.
Sure. Well, before I started working in retail, I watched the Clerks film, so I didn't have that experience to go along with it. But that being said, the Clerks animated series is the greatest thing that Kevin Smith has ever done.
Yo, guys, they gave us $5 for breakfast this morning. I hope this trial never ends.
I'm sorry, but I think you're a heathen for saying that.
I would even go as far to say that Clerks the anime series is better than Comic Book Men.
Oh,
no. I agree with that.
Yeah. I liked Comic Book Men, although it was cheesy as hell.
It was awful.
It was awful.
And it got canceled.
Scripted schlock.
It really was. Okay, so I agree with you on the fact, like, Clerks 2, yes, it could have been worked on so much better, but Clerks 1 was a masterpiece.
Oh, yeah, without a question, totally Greg. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was, like, the indie film that really spawned, like, this whole revolution in the 90s of, you know, like, that sort of angsty teenage college kids sort of movies that would be spawned later on.
Well, I guess it's worth a rewatch.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally rewatch.
I'm down.
Clerks. I liked Mallrats. I think Mallrats was like my favorite.
Which is weird because that's like the worst out of the whole View Askew universe, but it's still a good movie.
That's and so that's kind of it too. Is that I'm kind of like different when I look at Kevin Smith's movies. Like, I hated Dogma. Dogma is not funny.
Really? Yeah, I think that's his. That's my absolute favorite of his.
Dogma? Yeah, Dogma's supposed to be funny. What do you mean it wasn't supposed to be funny?
I thought it was an interesting story, although you can't find it on any streaming services because I wanted to watch it a couple weeks ago, and they actually pulled it down because he got so much, what's the word I'm looking for? Pushback from the Christian faith. They were not happy with it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot worse things that the Christian faith could be pushing back against than Dogma, but because I mean, Dogma is just a film, so whatever.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Dogma either. I really didn't think it was funny. But I mean, like the cast was funny. Like, they had a good set of, like, you know, Alan Rickman was in it, and Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were in it. Like, that's kind of funny. Like, and they had funny roles in it, but otherwise I was just like, the story is kind of just mediocre and lame.
Speaking of which, another side note, which is another tangent. Did you see the meme online for Thor Ragnarok, where Matt Damon plays Loki in Dogma, and then he ends up playing Loki again in Thor Ragnarok on the stage play.
Yeah.
So, like, he's played Loki twice in his career now. So, just fun fact.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Should he be Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah.
Hiddleston's, like, backup?
Yeah, right?
I like it.
I feel like I was, like, one of the only people who looked at Tom Hiddleston when he first showed up in the first Thor movie, and I'm like, that looks like Balki from Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, you probably would have, because I didn't see Perfect Strangers.
Which one was Perfect
Strangers? Old sitcom.
Okay.
I keep forgetting there's a 5-year age gap between the two of us.
5 years is not that much time.
But it is. It's not.
It is.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, did you ever watch Cheers?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Oh, okay. Did you watch it when it was airing? When it was like new episode of Cheers?
I don't remember.
Maybe yes.
Like I know we watched.
If our parents did.
Yeah, I know we watched Frasier when it was airing. So.
Oh, I watched Frasier too. That's still one of my favorite sitcoms, man. Frasier.
Yeah.
One of the best spinoffs ever. Probably the best spinoff ever, in my opinion.
Yeah. Right. Why do you have to go move to Seattle though?
Seattle's a town.
He wanted those tossed salad and scrambled eggs, man.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't get that in Boston. You ever had tossed salad and scrambled eggs in Boston? They always do it wrong. They scramble the salad and they toss the eggs.
And then they get it wet in the rain. That's always in Seattle.
But anyway, we were talking about the Clerks cartoon possibly being rebooted. And if you've ever listened to the director's commentary on the Clerks TV show DVD, they like shared like 13 episode ideas that they had all like written out. And they could probably do those 13 episodes.
Hey, listen, if Judge Reinhold's going to be back in it again, I'm in.
That's so funny that that's like the only episode of Clerks that anybody remembers.
Yeah.
is the trial episode.
Well, it was that episode and the quote-unquote clip show episode that only aired on television. I watched the Clerks cartoon when it was airing on ABC, and I was pissed on week 3 when it didn't show up.
Yeah, can you believe it?
But yeah, Clerks cartoon. Please, Kevin Smith, bring it back. Bring it back.
Yep, I'll watch.
I bet you there'd be a huge Kickstarter for it, too. Like, people would just, like,
throw Oh, my God. Yeah. I would throw my money fast at that.
Do you think it would get as much money as when Critical Role did their Kickstarter for their... They did
some sort of anime thing? I think it would.
I think it could.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think it could make as much money as Subverse is the question?
I got my Steam key for that, but I don't have a PC that I can play for it.
Oh, my gosh.
For people who don't get that joke, it's fine. Don't look it up.
No, look it up.
It's just a joke. Greg's looking it up.
Oh, Jesus.
What did you do?
I think that's a nice little segue to the Fetish of the Week!
Fetish of the Week.
Godzilla roar.
Okay, I unzoomed. There we go. All right, let's zoom back in on Fetish of the Week.
Yeah. Young woman scented body soap and deodorant becomes a hit with lonely Japanese dudes.
Nice.
How young?
I don't know. It just says young.
That's the part that's like very, very standoffish for a minute.
I mean, the girl in the picture looks college aged.
Okay. Well, I mean...
Keyword looks.
I mean, considering you can buy like... really filthy loli figurines in Japan. Like, yeah. It's like, how young? Let's think about this for a sec. Because I was going through write stuff today because Evan, you sent us over that Senko-san figurine that got
yeah.
And coupled with it was the fox girl from No Game No Life,
mm-hmm.
and she's mm-hmm. like shirtless and she's like holding up like a top and she's like sitting. And I was just like,
but she's like. 5.
No, but she's like 800 years old. It's like the whole spiel of just like, look at how like childish this creature is. And it's just like, but she's 800 years old. It's like, doesn't matter, I don't think. Like, that's...
Yeah. It's something...
What? That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are short girls out there.
I couldn't fathom it for a second.
Short girls are fine.
Yes.
Children, like
yeah, there, children. Yeah.
There are ways to proportion body parts to make them still look like a short adult, but this is like, you know, drawing them with their eyes, their nose, and their mouth all close together in the center of their face and makes them look younger. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's, we're talking about Japan, Greg.
That's true too. Yeah.
So anyways, about a year ago, Japan's Roto Pharmaceutical announced that it had isolated two chemical compounds, lactone C10 and C11, which the bodies of young women produce in greater quantities than those of older women. Hmm. And so the production of lactone C10 and C11 peak in the teen years. Oh, okay. So I guess the teen. Okay, that answers that question.
The 18 years, I would say.
I'm hoping it's the 18 years. So Roto was quick to develop a line of lactone-rich body soap and deodorant, which it claims is an industry first, called Deoco. And the primary target market is, you know, women in their 30s and older. And, you know, okay, since its release, you know, it's been a big hit with sales 60% above initial productions, but because it's mostly guys buying it.
I see. So it was initially sold for younger, for older women to have the smell and pheromones of a younger woman.
Okay, so my question was going to be, what's the point? And that answers it pretty well, actually. And that actually, that explanation makes it okay.
Yeah.
For me. And I think that it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I don't find okay is how it is being used.
Which doesn't make any sense anyway, because...
It doesn't make any sense. Because
what does it matter if you're shampooing with that certain scent? Like, who cares? Well,
for some people who shower before they go to bed, they'll shower with the soap and then go to sleep with their dakimakura. And then they'll go to bed to the scent of a beautiful woman.
Sounds like a great Saturday night.
Oh.
Woman-scented soap and Rainbow Six Siege. Saturday night.
That sounds like a friend of ours who would do that. I won't bring him up by name.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
No, you know who you are, man. Text me and I'll apologize.
And that was the best fish of the week. Ah, got to noise. So, okay, what have we been watching?
Agretzko.
Oh, yes, season 2 of Agretzko dropped.
Yeah, so literally today, Agretzko season 2 came out, and I just sat and just watched the whole thing. Well, I was
Same here.
And
I haven't started.
And it was awesome.
Was it awesome? Good? Okay.
Yeah.
I do have a complaint, though, because I feel like
the
last episode was kind of a repeat of the season finale of season 1.
Kind of.
Boo.
It's no. I thought it was still very good because it didn't achieve the same goal,
right?
It achieved a different goal than season one did. So this still progressed the story, which was really nice.
Yeah, but you know, she brings the love interest into the karaoke bar, and she kind of does the same similar right, thing
which I actually thought was fine, because it's the adventure. Because, like, I thought it was really nice that the first half of the season and the last... Like, so there's, like, two stories told within this one season. So, this is kind of, like, me explaining it to you, Jonathan, who hasn't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the first half of the season is, like, her learning how to kind of take charge of somebody under her at her work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half of the season is about her falling in love again. But the whole thing is about her talking about marriage with her mother. So it's really, really good, because, like, you see your mother in the first, and it's hilarious. And then, but then, okay, so for me, there's this joke in it. I think it's in episode 7, where it was the funniest joke in the whole series for me, where the boss, Director Ton,
mm-hmm,
yes,
who's one of my favorite characters in all of Agretzko.
So busy.
The CEO wants him to go golfing with this new guy who wants to help him help invest in the company that they work for.
Okay.
And he's just like, the CEO's just like, Director Ton, do you like golfing? And he's just like, I may dabble in it, while he's like polishing his golf clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they're golfing, and he's just like, Ton, you know what to do. He's like, yeah, I do. Guy takes a golf swing and he goes, yeah, like, you're doing so good. Like, this is director Tom. And yeah, he's just like, okay, I'm up. He slams his golf club into the ground and pushes, like, all the dirt up, like...
Oh, I'm so terrible at this! I died a little inside after I did that.
It was just, it was so funny, and then, like, at the end of it, he's, like, laying on the ground, like, business golf trips are so exhausting. It was brilliant. I thought, even though it had a similar premise to what the first season was, the first season was about dating, the second season was about marriage, which I thought was really nice. And it actually had some really wholesome values in it, like throughout the whole thing about getting married and about being in relationships. And you learn more in depth about the other characters in the series. Like you learn more backstory about the side characters, just like little bits and pieces too. And they're really, really like the hippo lady, Kaede.
Who, you know, she was annoying in the first season, but now in the second season, she's, you learn about awesome. Her backstory and like, you're like, yeah. She's actually really nice.
She's really super nice. And then, her two friends, the bird and the gorilla, they get into a tiff eventually. And that was really funny. Like, that was a really good dynamic. And then, of course, Haida-kun is like still caught in the middle of everything. And you're just like, poor Haida-kun. Oh, my gosh. You feel like he's just kind of like a punching bag, and Feneco is still Feneco. Like, Feneco, you don't really learn anything about Feneco. Feneco is
Feneco. Well, no, it's because she's the character who's meant to push, like, conflict along. Yeah. She stirs the pot.
Yeah.
And so if she were to change from that character, then there would be nobody to stir the pot to push the...
But I love Feneco. And I love Director Tan. Director Tan is one of my favorite characters. I love Feneco. Feneco's a great character. Retsuko is just a babe. She's great.
She's a working girl.
It's just.
So what did you think of the new character of Anai, the one who kind of starts like being a dick?
Well, that's kind of the spin on it, and I really liked him because I thought his dynamic into the season was really great. I loved how they mixed him in, and then eventually he just kind of became a character for the rest of the series. Because like the first half of the series is kind of about him, this new character that they're introducing, and then the
he's got like this sort of like split personality,
which is really cool. I highly recommend just being able to watch it. It's so.
My question for you is: one, is the opening different, and is it just as good as the first one?
So it's the same opening song, which I was happy about, reanimated.
Okay.
With new animation. And I watched it every single time. Like, you're on Netflix and there's always just like, skip intro, ? And I was like, no. This is Agretzko.
Metal.
It's like real metal too. That's always been my thing about Agretzko. It's not just like, oh, Japanese metal. It's real metal. Like, this is real metal.
We want a metal show, so we're gonna get all the visual kai.
Yeah, it's real metal, and I know my real metal.
So Japanese a new
Sabaton song, a new Sabaton song came out.
Oh, I haven't listened to Red Baron.
It's so good.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
It's so good. We'll listen to it after this.
Okay. Japanese metal is fake.
No, Japanese metal is really good.
Yeah, there's some really good
Japanese metal. It's a different flavor.
Yeah, there's different flavors of metal, and J metal is a flavor, and J metal is bad. Like, I don't enjoy J-Metal.
Really? All right. I'm going to have to introduce you to the band Electric Eelshock then, because they're really good.
No, I've heard Electric Eelshock, but, like, there's I mean, with as anything, like, there's different genres of metal, and there's, like, in the same way that there's Japanese pop music, which I really don't enjoy J-Rock or J-anything, like, there's that a form of metal that's just like that, and I don't like that, but there's still... You know, westernized, Scandinavian. I think you're
talking about more like Visual K styled.
Yeah, like there's...
Or it's like the theatrical metal.
Kind of. It depends. There's different examples, but I've heard some Japanese bands that are pretty heavy. Like, Japanese black metal is a thing, Japanese grindcore, and Japanese deathcore is a thing, and it's just like, okay, this is good. So
now I have a question. So if we call their versions of metal and pop, like J-pop, J-metal, when they listen to our stuff... Do they call it, like, A-pop, A-metal for, like, American?
I think it's Western.
Yeah, it's Western music.
Western, yeah.
That's not as fun.
Yeah. But, I mean, metal is Scandinavian to begin with.
It probably sounds better in Japanese.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so, Evan, what did you watch?
Well, there was a brand new episode of School Babysitters that popped up on Crunchyroll. Oh my god, I watched missed it, this show so much.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Episode 13 popped up. And
listen, yeah, so it focused on Ni-chan trying to study, and all the other kids are like, well, Ni-chan's trying to study, we're going to study too, and we're going to work hard for when he gets back.
So it's not imperative to watch it, because none of the sexy moms are in it. So there you go. Like, that's all you need to know. Right. It's not important.
So what you're saying is I have to wash myself down with some feminine soap before before watching it, because I feel feminine.
The best part about School Babysitters was the hot moms. Like, because they were so attractive. They were so super attractive. They were the most attractive characters in the show, and it was great. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Andrew, that was beautiful.
But yeah, School Babysitters. Great show. Beside, with the, you know, outside of the MILFs.
Anything else, Evan?
I think that is about it on my end. Although, you know, I have been catching up on the Cartoon Network series OKKO Let's Be Heroes, which is kind of related to anime because Studio Trigger animated the opening segment of that show.
We have talked about that before, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a great show. I think it's wicked funny. And you know, a lot of people don't talk about it much because, oh, it's not Teen Titans Go or Steven Universe.
Yeah, it's a potentially good show.
I don't know. I like Teen Titans Go, but
I do too.
I thought you were going to say Steven Universe. No. I'm like, man, Steven I Universe? Hated that show.
Oh, I hate Steven Universe. That's an awful show.
That's no secret to anybody else, and you're going to get feedback for saying that you hated it again.
I am going to get feedback, yeah. Bad answer.
I mean, I enjoyed Steven Universe, but then the fandom just went way too toxic, and I was like, I don't think I could continue watching this.
So about what I watched.
What did you watch?
I didn't watch anything. I actually read the next volume of My Hero Academia.
That's right. I have to finish that.
I feel like we're very clearly into season 5, if I wanted to guess. Mm-hmm. Unless this is season 4 is going to be 26 episodes long, or 24, whatever, then we might get what we're into right now, and it might actually be caught up to where we are in America.
I think, yeah.
Please don't spoil.
I'm not going to spoil it. However, I am going to say that this volume sucked. Like, it was so disappointing.
Well, there's a couple... In my opinion, there's a couple volumes of My Hero Academia that are just... They just suck.
Like, yeah, there's going to be one or two episodes in season 4 that are going to be really bad.
See, I enjoyed this... I actually kind of enjoyed this volume of My Hero Academia, mostly because it was about Jiro, which is, like, my favorite My Hero Academia girl. And she often gets pushed aside.
Yep.
But if it was just about Jiro, then it would have been fine.
It would have been better.
Like, but they introduced this villain that we just don't care about.
No, he's so useless.
That's what I hate about...
Like, literally the only reason why he's in there is because Midoriya is the main character and he has to fight somebody.
Yeah, and that's what I really hate about shonen anime. So, like, I enjoy shonen anime from time to time. I mean, heck, we talk about Food Wars, we talk about Naruto, we talk about Bleach, we talk about... shonen anime is great. We love it. It's fine. But the problem with shonen anime is not filler, like everybody thinks it is. The problem with shonen anime is they always have to have somebody to fight. They can't just do drama. Like, we've talked about it 1,000 times.
It's because them prepubescent boys don't want a drama.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about it 1,000 times. Naruto the Last.
Yeah.
It should have been a drama movie about Naruto and Hinata getting ready for their wedding. But no, we have to go fight on the moon! You know, it's just like, ugh.
You see, this is why I love Dr. Stone, because it's a shonen series, but there's, like, science-y stuff in between the fight stuff, so you get a good balance.
This is why I like Promised Neverland, is because Promised Neverland is technically a shonen. Technically. I don't really see it as a shonen, but technically, it's a shonen. And it's not afraid... Like, they don't actually fight anybody. It's all a mind game of cat and mouse. And then, eventually they do fight people, but because they haven't centered or focused the universe around fighting, it's kind of like, whoa, they're like, oh my gosh, they're fighting somebody?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, and not to mention, we're like volumes in, well into season 3 even, like if they were going to make an anime that far, and fighting just showed up.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're about 90, now we have about 90 chapters of, which is only about half of what Japan has. Japan's in like 130 plus now.
Wow.
So they have a good chunk that we haven't read yet, which I can't wait for Promised Neverland to end. I love it so much I want it to end.
Like, doesn't that always sound like a terrible thing? Yeah. Say? I can't wait for this to end.
I just want it to die.
yeah, right?
Because,
but no, well, because there's nothing better about a story than its ending.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
for the Bleach ending.
Yeah. Well, that's because the poor guy gave up. He was just like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
We don't talk about that on
Wikipedia. Yeah, so it'll be really cool to see. But I agree with you. Like, the whole My Hero Academia thing of, like, here's a new villain because we have to punch things because we're superheroes. It's like, no, like, they're having a school festival. Just let them have their school festival with nobody interrupting. Thanks.
Yeah. Maybe what they can do is adapt a couple of the chapters of the spinoff series, the Vigilantes one, because there are some great stories out of that one.
Yo. I don't like Vigilantes.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
I bought volume 1 and I read the whole thing and I was so bored that I was like, I can't pick up another one. Like, I couldn't. I just like can't. And I feel bad about that too, but it's just like I'm not motivated to find out what happens to these characters that I really don't care about. Granted, the guy who doesn't have a quirk but is as strong as All Might is super cool.
Yeah.
Wait,
he's kind of like Marv from Sin City.
Yeah, yeah, ooh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, that's yeah. a perfect example of him because he's like all homeless and stuff. There's like this homeless vigilante that is like a superhero who has super strength, but he has no quirk.
So he's not a superhero then if he doesn't have a quirk.
Who says you can't be a superhero if you don't have a quirk? Batman's a superhero.
Oh, that's a different universe. Because in this universe, they define it as you have to have a quirk to be a superhero.
Which is why he's a vigilante.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't like the fact that it's like he's the same power level as All Might, though.
Really? Well, that's hyperbole. Like, he fights crime and, like, he'll smash some faces and...
That's English. That goes right over my head.
It means that... Are you to ask me if what hyperbole means?
No, I'm just saying, like, English just goes over my head. I don't speak it well enough. I don't understand it well enough.
So, he's not as strong as All Might, but, like, he wants...
But like, you just, like, made it sound like he was as strong as All Might, and I'm like, wait, no, they're just breaking their universe then, in my eyes.
Yeah.
Well, they've already broken their universe by creating the My Hero Academia movie, which was just garbage, so...
we're totally recapping last week's Wicked Anime.
It wasn't garbage, I mean, it won the Crunchyroll Award. I can't even finish that sentence. It beat Mirai into the Night of Short Walk-On Girl.
We're never going to be sponsored by them.
I'm sorry. I use Crunchyroll as a service to watch anime. I do not like them as a company.
Okay.
I don't like any of the anime companies, to be honest. I mean, let's get real. They're all trash.
The American services.
Huh?
The American services.
Oh, yeah. The Japanese services don't even like them. I have to work with these folks?
Meh.
That was a perfect Japanese accent, might I say.
Meh.
Well, thanks for considering us anyway.
Oh, man.
So, anything else? Anybody want to talk about a show that they've seen?
Otherwise, I can't remember if I've seen anything new or not. I think we talked about everything that I saw.
So then, should we talk about E3? Then that's going to be our topic. That's going to be our topic for today, everybody. For those of you who are coming into the podcast late for some reason,
yeah, because we just want to talk about all the things we saw.
Yeah.
Can everybody agree that it was breathtaking?
Huh? You are breathtaking.
Good one.
That was the best thing ever. For those of you who don't know, let's start off with something really awesome. So they introduced that one of the main characters of Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
And if I was... So
and
I
it's
was
not even a cameo, by the way. He has the second most amount of lines in this video game.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
they don't show him in the trailer, though. Yeah, which really bugged me.
Yeah, I didn't see him in the end.
Trailer. Yeah, he's at the dead end of the trailer.
So in the trailer, your main character guy, their deal goes bad, and you get shot in the face, right?
Yeah.
And then he wakes up in the junkyard, and Keanu Reeves is like, wake the F up! And
yeah, we have a city to burn.
Yeah, we got a city to burn. And he like takes off his sunglasses, and he looks exactly like John Wick.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Dude, it was so good. Like, I was so happy. Like, it... And, like, I was already excited for Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, me too.
But now I'm just like, oh, and it has Keanu Reeves? Like, great. That sounds fantastic.
And then this game has been in production for, like, almost five... I think, no, like, almost six, seven...
Before Witcher 3 even came out.
Like, yeah, before Witcher 3 even came out. And think about that. They have kept this secret for that long, almost. Yeah,
and it's gone through, like, they scrapped it and started over, and they redid it, and oh my gosh.
The funny thing is about this, too, is that, like, during the presentation, everybody freaked out when Keanu Reeves was in the trailer, but then he walks out on stage, and
everyone's like,
and he's legitimately, like, psyched out of his mind about it. To the point where he's, like, ad-libbing. He's riffing. And, like, and the part where the guy in the audience yells, "You're breathtaking!" And then Keanu Reeves points at him and goes, "You're breathtaking!"
Well, because he goes, like, everything in the game is just breathtaking. You're breathtaking!
Yeah, and then...
I'm sorry, but the best part is when he just goes, "Cyberpunk!"
Well, that was... Yeah, he's...
I'm sure everybody's heard the story, too, that the guy who said, "You're breathtaking..."
Has
a photo of Keanu Reeves pointing directly at him, and he posted it on his Twitter and said, "Keanu Reeves called me breathtaking tonight." And then Project CD Red tweets back at him saying, "You are breathtaking, and you're going to get a limited edition of Cyberpunk 2077 for free."
Oh my God.
So,
oh man.
So he's getting a free limited edition Cyberpunk 2077 because
the only downside is the statue isn't Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, right. It's the default, basically
the boring guy.
Well, yeah, the boring guy who's not Keanu Reeves.
You get to create your own character in this game.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like,
makes sense. It's through body.
Well, I mean, have you seen the tech demo of the character creation?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's endless. It's so crazy. You can make the coolest looking person ever.
Yeah.
Like it's gonna be so cool.
We're talking about levels of Brink.
We're talking.
I remember the game Brink.
Yeah. Where there are there.
It was a good concept
to pick from.
Can I go back to that point for a minute where you guys mentioned the Twitter guy just gets a free game? So, in order to get a free game from the developer themselves, you have to, like, fall in love with their protagonist in life on stage in order to get a free copy. Is that what I'm getting here? Is that the only way to get a free game from the developer?
Yeah, if Keanu Reeves comments on you, then, like, in a positive manner, you get free stuff.
That sounds deserving. I mean, Evan gets them for free because he's a gamester.
All right, so how do we... That's our next mission on Wicked Anime. Like, let's go find Keanu Reeves and comment that he's breathtaking.
Yeah, why? That's been the plan our entire lives.
I know.
But see, I wouldn't want to do that now because now he's probably going to be like, ugh, like, okay, I get it. Like, you're breathtaking. Like, everybody's going to be calling him breathtaking. He's just going to hate it. You know, everybody's gonna be like, "You're breathtaking." You're gonna be like, "You're breathtaking."
Another anecdote about that too is I sent this all to you in the chat this morning. That everybody's been freaking out about the rise of the Shield Hero because they just had a beach episode and we saw Raph Talia.
I haven't seen it yet.
We got to see Raph Talia in a swimsuit. And so there's just a series of screen caps of like, "Well, what do you think?" And then the main character is like, "You're perfect," and she blushes. And so somebody posted like, "What do you think?"
Yeah.
Main character-san, and then it's just an animated picture of "You're breathtaking." It's a picture of Keanu Reeves pointing at her, and then her blushing. It's just like so funny.
I didn't get the reference. I just knew that was Keanu Reeves in the middle frame, and I thought it was funny because the way they scratched.
Just from the new episode of Shield Hero.
Okay.
So, anyways.
Well, speaking of CD Projekt Red, we're not even talking about the stuff that I'm actually excited about. Cyberpunk is one of the things I'm like absolutely excited about.
Yeah.
Speaking of CD Projekt Red, though, I wanted to mention that The Witcher 3 is
coming to the Switch,
and it's not even like Witcher 3 is coming to the Switch. Like, oh, I can buy that for $15 on Steam. That's not the point. They're bringing The Witcher 3 to the Switch is basically Nintendo being like, this is what our hardware can do. Like, you know?
Yeah, but it goes against everything that Nintendo wants as a system.
That's not true.
Well, I mean...
No.
Like, I mean, they already have Skyrim on it.
But the Skyrim doesn't have vaginas.
Right, but the difference is as well.
Senran Kagura almost does.
Exactly. So there's, you know, like we're saying, all the Nintendo games are becoming the uncensored cuts where the, and then all the Sony games are becoming the censored cuts, but you can just buy it for Steam and everything's uncensored. So I don't know.
Well, I like this direction. It seems like Nintendo's kind of breaking the mold and maybe tapping into a different market.
Now, right, exactly. Now Nintendo, it's the right move. They're realizing, okay, our audience is getting older. We should be appeasing to the older audience.
And they're competing. Nintendo is competing.
I think they're the front runner. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, they are. I mean, literally, the Switch is probably one of the most popular systems.
I still want to get one, and I'm a PC guy now.
Oh yeah, me too. I would. Well, I need to play Fire Emblem. I need to play Fire Emblem.
I want
to
play more Smash Bros. It's all I do.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another one on the list that I need to talk about of my favorite things of E3, which I don't know if I really count Nintendo Direct as E3 because they just happen to play at the same time that E3's around. You know?
No, they're at E3 though.
They are at E3, but, like, okay, they made a room that was Luigi's Mansion. Cool. Fire Emblem looks great because now it's Fire Emblem in a way that we've never seen. Like, they're doing a completely different Fire Emblem. It's not just the same game that they... Every time they make Fire Emblem, it's a different game, basically. And so this one is a completely different concept now, you know? It's not even the same concept of Fire Emblem anymore. And you know, you have three different houses, as it's called three houses, but you have three different houses that you get to kind of maintain relationships with, and then there's one party that everybody's fighting against.
The Lannisters.
Yeah. The thing that I'm wondering about, though, is there character creation in this one? Because that was what was really nice about the last two Fire Emblem games, is you got to create your own character, and then you got to have a piece of the story, you know, and then your character got to marry somebody, and, like, that was really cool, and then they had children. Ah, that's really cool, too. But this, the story trailer that they made for this Fire Emblem didn't set it up to be like, oh, you get to have a piece of the story. It just gave you, like, classic Fire Emblem, where they gave you a character and you play as that character kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if you actually get to play or not as your own character. I hope you do. Because that's really special to Fire Emblem to me.
Yeah, yeah. I think you would be able to.
I hope so.
Yes.
What?
Final Fantasy VII Remake gameplay.
Oh my god! I thought it was Final Fantasy VIII Remake.
They're remastering 8.
They're remastering 8, but the remake of 7 actually is looking great.
And they announced Tifa! And, you know, Tifa is my absolute... you know, childhood crush. Like, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII since Final Fantasy VII was, you know, a non-greatest hits on PlayStation 1. And oh my gosh, I have such a crush on Tifa, and they announced her finally. And so I'm super happy. But not only that, but the gameplay looks amazing.
It does.
Yeah!
It looks great.
It, you know, they took Final... I think Final Fantasy XV was a tech demo for what they wanted to do with Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Because, like...
Which is weird, because Final Fantasy XV was supposed to be Final Fantasy XIII Versus.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Do you remember Versus? That came out, that was, like, they announced it, like, forever ago.
Yeah, I do.
So, Final Fantasy XV basically was, like... What are you showing me?
Oh, just... So,
Aeris?
I wanted to find the picture of the old Aeris and... underneath it was the new Aeris, and I just thought, like, how awesome, like, in just a short span of time technology has come.
Oh, it's freaking beautiful.
It's I know, absolutely beautiful. Like, I'm sorry, Evan, I wish I could show you this photo, but
oh no,
like,
I've seen it.
Amazing.
Oh my god. Well, see, that's the whole issue with Final Fantasy VII to begin with, is just like, do you like Aeris or do you like Tifa? It's just like, well, I like both of them, but
why can't I like both?
Well, you can like both of them, but you date one, you have to choose one of them to date in the game.
No, but there, it's very hard to do, but your date can end up being Barret.
Yes.
At one, and apparently it's like the best thing.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny. But no, I'm always very much, every time I play Final Fantasy VII, I date Tifa, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because why wouldn't I want to date Tifa? Because to me, like, even though Aeris is just like, oh, Aeris and Cloud, that's the greatest, that's such a good love story. It's like, okay, no, I think Tifa and Cloud is the greatest love story, but I also like, I could, but me personally, I have a crush on Tifa myself, but You know, I think she's just the ultimate waifu. But,
whoa, you've never said that before.
I think because I'm so emotionally invested in Final Fantasy VII, mm-hmm. like I haven't realized how emotionally invested in Final Fantasy VII I've been since I've been replaying it and since Final Fantasy VII Remake has becoming more tangible.
I'm currently watching a speed run online with somebody who beat Final Fantasy VII in 3 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know, about 40 minutes, and apparently it uses glitches.
I mean, that makes cheap. Sense. No, there is... Glitches are... If you can do a glitch run, like if it's a non-100% speed run, then glitches are... Because it's still beating the game and getting to the end, so it still works.
Yeah. It's not true, though.
But fighting bosses is apparently buying a crap ton of grenades and just throwing them at them. grenade, lightning bolt.
That's
grenade,
how you solve grenade, all your life's problems.
Yeah.
But, what was it? MC Bat Commander. Violence is never the answer until it is.
Yeah. But, So Final Fantasy VII Remake is also coming out in different packs as well. So you can get just the basic game. You can buy the game. Mm-hmm. And then you can buy the deluxe edition, which comes with the soundtrack and an art book. So I might actually get the deluxe edition, which means that because it's going to come out in 3 installments, one per disc,
It was only supposed to come out in two. They said it was going to fit on two Blu-ray discs.
The whole game?
The whole game.
No, because you get 2 discs in this.
Oh.
One's an installation disc and one's the gameplay disc.
Oh.
Like the same way that Red Dead Redemption was.
Oh, I didn't know that Red Dead Redemption did that.
Yeah, and Grand Theft Auto 5 did it as well.
So,
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so, because this game is massive. Yeah. But, well, and that's the thing. So people were speculating, oh, it only takes you to the end of Midgar. You don't even get to the world map.
Yep,
Midgar. Apparently, this is until the whole first disc, which, of course, is, to me, the first disc is just the greatest story ever told.
I think that disc one of Final Fantasy VII is the best part of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, it's so amazing. It's so good. And so if everybody's playing like actual disc, like you actually get to go past Midgar and you actually get to play past Final Fantasy VII through Midgar, like, oh my gosh, you guys, this is going to be one of the greatest games ever made, in my opinion, because I love Final Fantasy. But anyway, so it's coming out in a deluxe edition. You get an art book and you get the soundtrack, which I might get because soundtrack, amazing. Makes me cry every time I hear some of the songs. Mm-hmm. Art book. I'm an art book nut, and why wouldn't I get an art book of Final Fantasy VII? And then plus you get some extra summons and stuff, which is kind of cool.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you get like a Chocobo summon and then a Cactar summon, which is kind of neat.
Oh yeah.
And then true. you get a steelbook case, and then there's the first class edition of Final Fantasy VII Remake,
the $350 one.
$330 for Final Fantasy VII. You have to buy that 3 times. Like, that is an ultimate whale purchase. And you get a figurine of Cloud on the motorcycle, and it's just like, man.
And yet I still have a feeling you're gonna buy it.
No, $330? That's a Switch. I can't afford that.
Well,
if I can't even
never saying never.
If I can't even afford a Switch, how am I gonna buy like one copy of Final Fantasy with a figurine of Cloud?
Because this is your game.
It is. I know. I've been waiting for this game. I've been waiting very patiently for this game. But no,
a lot of people have.
I'd be happy with just dropping $80 on the deluxe edition because it gets me the art book, and that's all I want.
That's fair.
Like I don't have space for a Cloud figurine as much as I would like space for a Cloud figurine. But...
Oh, you would find room.
Oh, I'd find room easily. Easily. Now, if it was a Tifa figurine, that would be harder. Like I'd be like. I should probably get this first class edition and spend $330 that I don't have.
Maybe disc 2 will have that.
Yeah, it's just like, maybe I'll skip out on my health insurance this month and buy Final Fantasy. So
I would risk disease for this figurine.
So I'm totally happy with what they showed for Final Fantasy VII. That's all I could have watched out of the Square Enix.
Yeah.
Because the first 15 to 20 minutes of the Square Enix presentation was the Final Fantasy VII stuff.
Can we talk about the actual best part of the Square Enix presentation?
Can I ask a side question first?
Yeah.
So, because you guys are so in love with Final Fantasy VII, like, my favorite, personal favorite was 9. Do you think they'll ever remaster or remake 9?
I don't think 9 will get as much love as 7.
Yeah, 9 has...
Which is sad, because I agree with you, Greg, because that is my favorite out of them.
I will not argue with you that 9 is not an amazing game. So, because it's 7, 8, and 9 are considered... I mean, so there's people who like 4, 5, and 6.
Yep.
And then there's people who like 7, 8, and 9. And then there's people who are wrong and like 10, 13, and 15. And then...
Just they're
wrong. And then 12 is its own. Like, like 12. And it's just like, okay, 12 is good, 12 but is nobody bought it.
Yeah, apparently 12 is an amazing game, but PS3 came out, and then they released Final Fantasy 12 on the PS2. And everybody had PS3s, and nobody bought it. So,
But it was apparently a really good game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the MMOers who play 11 and 14, which I have 14, which is fun. But so 9 was really good. I did like 9.
They did already remaster it though. Just so you know.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. It's on the Switch right now.
It snuck by everybody. Like nobody cares.
That's sad.
It's really sad.
I grew up with that game.
Yeah. No, 9 was great. Yeah. I love. Yeah, I know. I had 7, 8, 9. Like those were my Final Fantasies, and 7 was always the best.
So again, back to the business at hand.
Yes,
the best actual 15 minutes of Square Enix, which was the Avengers release.
Oh my gosh! Game. So
no, let's talk about. Let me say anything. So, so the best possible business move that you can make for a group of characters that we already know who they are and we already know their characters, and they're making a video game about them, and they show no gameplay whatsoever. Like, so this was the Avengers reveal that literally every single person and their grandma was throwing heat and trash and slander at Final Fantasy VII Remake.
And everything else.
And everything else that Square Enix was showing, because they were like, it's not the Avengers game that I'm looking for. Just show me the damn Avengers game and I will go home. And of course they were going to save it for last, because that's what everybody's like wanting to do.
Jack off
to. Yeah. Yeah. And,
that was a great demonstration, John.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Good Travis touchdown impersonation.
which
we'll get to him in a second.
But.
Oh yeah. That's right.
They showed this trailer, which is like, sure, all of the Avengers are voiced by different people. Like, they didn't get the movie Avengers people, but they're still the exact same characters. So we know how they're going to act. So the only way that you can possibly sell an Avengers game is by showing some really cool gameplay footage. And they didn't do that.
Not only that, but they also ripped off the endgame 5 years later.
Oh, yeah,
like,
right?
Like, the game has a 5 years later thing in it because the Avengers are now fugitives, and it's just like, okay, Endgame did 5 years later. Congratulations.
Yeah, so it was, like, the worst part of it.
So like, I had to sit through the Square Enix presentation watching the live chat, and the live chat was just like, what's this weeb shit? Like, what, like, nobody cares about this. Just show Avengers. Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. What's this weeb crap? Like, everybody was calling us weebs, and everybody... I was like, you understand that Square Enix is a Japanese company, right? And they're going to make Japanese anime games, right? Like, nobody cares about your dumb Avengers game. Like, like everybody's here to see Final Fantasy, because that's what Square Enix makes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like... And great, on day one, we get all of the 5 original Avengers that we've seen 1,000 times. The one cool thing that they talked about was they're going to release new heroes that you can play as in the game for free forever.
Mm.
Great. Fine. But we need to see some gameplay footage if you're even going to start to convince me that you're going to make a good game.
I think it's a great marketing strategy.
Yeah. Well, see, I just thought it was really annoying to be there for Final Fantasy and, like, you just have just tons of people that, like... escape from their basement somehow. Well, they didn't, because they were typing on their computer. And we're just like, I want to jack off to Tony Stark! Like, it's just like, okay, like, we get it. Like, you got all the Marvel nerds, and it's just like, get out of here. Like, get away from... Like, it was literally two different genres of fans clashing together because of Marvel. Because the Marvel kids, who have no idea what Final Fantasy is or anime is or any of that crap, come to Square Enix's event.
Did both sides kill each other off?
Almost. Like it was a pretty fair like, and I was fighting. I was in the chat. I was making fun of the Avengers people as well. So.
Like, Andrew and I wrote a comic book about this one time.
I just love seeing Andrew at full throttle, like just bashing on these groups.
Oh man,
hard man with hard opinions.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Like I can't stand it anymore. Like
I mean, like just be happy that we're getting a Marvel Ultimate Alliance game that's coming out what next month, and that's actually looking pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. Well, because just imagine it, like for an hour. An entire hour, the whole chat just said Avengers, like scrolling up, like Avengers. It's like, we get it. You know it's coming. They're not going to listen to you. Stop. You know?
That actually surprised me that they don't know what that company mainly makes.
Yeah, it's
like, I when you said, yeah, Square Enix and Avengers, I'm like, what? No. Yeah. Final Fantasy, what?
Yeah. So that happened. Okay. So my top game, so again, my top games were Cyberpunk, Fire Emblem, Final Fantasy, and Doom.
Yeah, but I'm going to throw Doom. One more in there at you. Uh-huh. They showed a gameplay trailer for Psychonauts 2.
Oh, they did?
Yes!
I missed it entirely.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. It's really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because
the
grin
on John Starr's face right now.
Sorry. Psychonauts is the best game. Like, you will never convince me. Psychonauts is one of the best
games. No, Psychonauts is... I will 100% agree.
Second to Earthworm Jim. Second to Earthworm Jim, Psychonauts is the best game ever made.
Wait. What? That statement contradicts itself.
I know. Earthworm Jim will always and forever be the best game ever made for me. But Psychonauts
is
the best game ever made. Don't argue with me.
My brain literally exploded.
I know. I see it seeping out of your ears.
Thank you.
We heard a pop. So speaking of pops, like I watched the gameplay trailer for Doom, or the gameplay demonstration for Doom,
which
was really cool.
I need to see that.
Well, I mean, one of the things, you got to listen to the music, you know, and I guess of course they have Mick Gordon on music again, and it's just like, oh, Mick Gordon makes the best soundtrack.
It sounds like metal, but he doesn't use a single real instrument.
He does. He uses a guitar.
Well, I thought that the whole point was that he used, like, sound effects to make
Well, he
everything.
Does, but he has a guitar that he also, like, he uses the guitar and then everything else is electronic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So the music is really nice. The one thing I'm disappointed about, I think, from Doom, or from this Doom Eternal gameplay, is, two things. You can see the Doom Slayer's face through his mask now. Through the visor, you can see his eyes and stuff, which is like, okay, I can get past that, whatever. Two, when he gets hurt, he makes a noise.
Like he did in the original Doom.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
I thought he did.
He did a...
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one. But in Doom 2016, he didn't.
Yeah.
In this one, it's like... like when he gets hit, like, so it's,
I like it,
so yeah, those are
very nitpicky, which I'm happy. I thought you were gonna actually talk about something.
No, I love it's Doom. Yeah. I love Doom.
So I just saw this extra credits just released a new game video where they were talking about Dragon Quest XI and Doom Eternal.
Yeah,
and they were talking about how review sites will always give a thumbs down the fact that they dislike that this game has not changed since the first one.
Yeah.
But fans always give the thumbs up for this game has not changed, it's the same as the first one.
Yeah.
And that's something that's really funny about Doom, is that, like, they tried giving it an immersive atmosphere and everybody hated it. And they thought it was okay, but they didn't like it. But then they just, like, no, let's take away the immersive atmosphere and let's just make some slaying gore stuff. And, like, here we go. Everybody loves Doom again. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Doom 2016 was the best game of 2016, in my opinion. Now I get to play it on my computer, which is even better. Like, I will be buying Doom Eternal for my PC.
You can glitch speedrun that.
Yeah. Right. I'm so excited. Like, right now, I'm literally playing, like, Terrorist Hunt on Rainbow Six Siege to get my, like, I'm just going to go in and shoot somebody fixed.
Get Froggy on some Terries.
Yeah, go get Froggy on some Terries. But now I can go play Doom.
That, like, was a Key and Peele joke, by the way.
Like, now I can play Doom. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. And that's November. That's coming out in November.
Yeah.
November 22nd.
And that's, like, really close to Sabaton. November 1st to November 22nd.
Sabaton.
21 days past Sabaton.
Oh man!
I don't think you'll see Andrew for that whole month.
Yeah, no, not in November. No, November is busy for me, and it's mostly because of.
And we will see him in November because we're going to go to the Sabaton concert with him.
Well, I haven't bought a ticket.
You got to buy your tickets, Greg.
I don't know if I can go.
Yes, you do. You can go. You're gonna go.
All right, just remind me right after this recording.
Okay. Well, you will because we're going to be listening to the Red Baron after this, the Sabaton song.
Fair enough.
And you're also editing this episode. So, future Greg, buy Sabaton tickets. Stop editing right now for a second. Buy Sabaton tickets.
Past Greg, do what John says. I mean, future Greg. Sorry. You're thinking past. Anyway.
You're past Greg.
Yes, I am.
Evan, what games did you look at E3?
All right. So, of course, I just mentioned recently No More Heroes 3. Because No More Heroes is like one of my absolute favorite video game series. And just seeing Travis Touchdown just go hardcore henshin on like hundreds of people at once just made me so giddy. And here's the thing. When the trailer was first being shown, I didn't realize it was No More Heroes because Travis looked a lot older. But then when he like took off the whole henshin Kamen Rider kind of outfit, he was back to his old school self. And it's just got that sort of craziness that I love about No More Heroes in this trailer. So I'm excited about that. I'm very excited about Astral Chain. And I swear, Astral Chain is Scalebound. Because I remember seeing the trailer for Scalebound at an Xbox presser event before it was canceled. And the recent trailer for Astral Chain that was shown off in this E3 conference had very similar gameplay to what Scalebound was going to have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Bayonetta 3 as well.
No, Bayonetta 3 is a totally separate game.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying, but part of the Bayonetta team is on Astral Chain.
Yes.
Which is exciting.
So of course, those Cyberpunk. One that really got my attention from the guys who made Dishonored, Deathloop.
I don't think I saw that.
That was on the Bethesda one. It's basically a story of two different people, and every time one character dies, it's basically like a nitty-gritty version of ReZero.
Huh. Okay.
And I thought the way it was presented, it looked really cool, so I'm going to keep my eyes peeled for that one. The Link's Awakening remake. It was so cute, it looked so cool.
Have you seen it, Jonathan?
No.
It's so cute.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, they totally remade Link's Awakening in 3D, and like the art style is just absolutely adorable.
Let's see.
But then a polar opposite is the Breath of the Wild sequel announcement. That was creepy.
I heard that it was like a horror game.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a horror base, which I'm down for that.
By the way, have you guys seen... What are the boss characters? Like they're like gods or something like that in the original Breath of the Wild? Or the first Breath of the Wild?
Aren't they like called Divine Beasts?
Yeah.
Divine Beasts.
Have you seen the original concept art for the Divine Beasts?
No.
They're like straight out of the Mist.
Seriously?
Yeah. Like... horrifying art sketches, and I don't know whether or not the ones that I saw were, it was on Reddit, so I don't know if what I saw was real, but like somebody made some really scary Divine Beast pictures and they said that it was actual concept art for Breath of the Wild.
Well, and it seems like that the sequel is taking a cue from that concept art.
Yeah, right? And that's kind of what made me think that it was believable in a way, you know what I mean? So
scaring new generation of Zelda fans. I like it.
Oh, these things?
Let me see.
Oh wow. Yep,
oh
that's
my
it.
Gosh.
Yep, that's it.
What?
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. That is very
If they make a Zelda M-rated game, that would be awesome.
An M-rated Zelda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with those Divine Beasts.
I feel like
concepts,
this one could push the envelope. It may be like a hard T, but it might get like an almost M rated.
Pushing the envelope at teen.
Pushing the teen envelope, if you want to call it that. And let's see, the last game that really caught my attention. Oh my god, how have we not talked about Destroy All Humans?
Oh, the remaster, Destroy All Humans?
No, it's the remake.
I'm so excited for this.
Well, it's, I mean, a remake is a remaster, technically, kind of.
Kind of.
But they're remaking it from the ground up. A remaster is just an extra coat of paint.
This has me so excited because I remember being a lonely kid back in the day, and to get over my awful sorrows, I would play Destroy All Humans. And that sounds bad, but that's not supposed to
it's
be.
It's pretty crippling.
No, Destroy...
It's supposed to be like a funny cripple story, but I guess I threw it off as like really sad. Don't worry, people. It's funny. Laugh.
Destroy All Humans was a really... I played Destroy All Humans. It was a really fun game.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And then I played the second one, and I thought the second one was crap.
Yeah, well, this is more going to be aligned with the first one. And I watched some of the gameplay demo that GameSpot posted up, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
So the one thing I didn't catch was, when's the release date, supposed release date?
2020.
No, that's too far!
literally everything was coming out in 2020.
Yeah.
That
was
released at. Yeah. Right, 2019 end, it's a crappy year anyway. Let's get to 2020.
Yeah.
We should also make the point of what they did with the trailer for Destroy All Humans.
You mean Ishmael. The Rammstein?
Yeah.
The what?
Which, if you read the lyrics to Ishmael, it's perfect for Destroy All Humans.
Ishmael. Yeah. It was just like a straight up Rammstein music video.
Really?
Yeah. It was like that. It was Ishmael by Rammstein. Crypto is singing it. Crypto? What's his name? Whatever. He's singing it, and then they turn it into a music video for Ishmael, and then he destroys all humans.
Huh. Does he still sound like Jack Nicholson?
They didn't reveal his actual voice.
The remake, it says, kind of, sort of, sounds like Jack Nicholson, more of a growl than... But like a Jack Nicholson with a growl.
That was the one thing that I hated about Destroy All Humans was the alien's voice.
I thought it was interesting.
I couldn't.
I thought it fit.
It fit really goofy feel to the game.
I shouldn't say back then because it's still goofy, but like it is supposed to be a goofy alien game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's supposed to be fun.
One of the things that I wanted to mention that was at E3 that I thought was really, really interesting was, and this was a game that I found out existed not too long ago, is Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
Yeah.
So the original Vampire the Masquerade is like this old RPG that has like 10 different factions of vampires, and you get to create your own character. And... a bunch of different characters that you talk to and play like stories, and I guess the game is really short so that you can keep playing it over and over and over again as all the different factions, and then you get like different pieces of the story because different factions can have access to different things. And I guess it's like one of the best RPGs, like splinter RPGs ever made. Like, it's just really fun and super interesting. Well, they just announced number 2 is coming out, which is crazy because it's like a game that's just like, why would they make a number 2 of that? You know,
because they can,
and it looks fantastic. It looks absolutely amazing. It's cool.
What system was that for?
I think it's for everything.
For everything,
PC to console, and
yeah, PC and console.
So so Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
Speaking of these new games too, and I don't know if you guys like to cover consoles when it comes to E3 stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm looking at some of the specs that they're coming out for with the new Xbox, which I hate the name. Xbox 2, that's what they're calling it. They're calling it Project Scarlet, but I guess the actual...
I want it to be called the Xbox Scarlet. Just keep the code name. It sounds sleek.
Honestly, I don't know. Why can't they go back to, like, Xbox 720? Like, that was what everybody thought it was going to be after the 360, and they're like, no, we're going to name it the 1.
It's gone to plan.
Because, Greg, now they have to create prequel systems so that they can fill in Xbox 1 through 359.
Oh, you're right. It's awful.
So,
but
they got a long way to go. They jumped the gun when they hit Xbox 360.
But that was such a good name. Anyway.
It's a joke, Greg.
I know. But it's just, it frustrates me. Like, you're really going to go, like, one, two, three, four, five. Like, be more creative. It's just dumb. But the point is, aside from the name being dumb, the specs are absolutely awesome on this thing. It's starting to get into territory where it could possibly rival a lower budget to mid-budget PC.
Why? What's the RAM inside of it, or the graphics?
So, from what I can tell, it's a little bit limited information, but it's set to launch holiday 2020 with 8K gaming, support for 120 FPS frame rates, ray tracing, an optical drive, along with backwards compatibility for the last three generations of Xbox consoles.
Oh, PlayStation's doing that too. Sony announced that PS5 will be compatible with all five generations.
I believe it, because Sony is usually a step ahead of Xbox. I mean, I grew up with Xbox, but PlayStation is
I hate that. The only reason why I hate that is because typically everybody in the world has sold all of their first generation Xbox games to buy one Xbox 360 game.
I did that with Xbox 360 to PS4. I sold everything and I still owed like $100, but I'm not going to mention the awful company that I had to do that for. But you guys probably know.
Yeah.
Yep. Not going to mention it. But other than that, I thought that was really cool, and they're starting to actually compete, I think, with PCs. I don't know if they'll be on the same level soon. They
probably, unless you can fit a 1080 Ti into a system, you probably, and not to mention.
Try the 20 series now. They're at like 2080s.
Right, but but a Ti is like the same, like. It's overhauled, basically.
They have 2080 Ti's.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I bought top of the line when I bought my PC. So
like, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I mean, they recently came out, I think, with like the 16s and the 20s. And.
But either way, the difference is you when you run consoles at about like 120 frames per second. Like if we're running consoles at 60 frames per second. Okay, cool. But if you run a console at 120 frames per second, that has nothing to do with the console. You need a monitor that can run it like that.
Yep, a TV.
Yeah, that's true.
Like mm-hmm. So the monitors have to be able to, like, my monitor at home is 144. Like
same,
I can
same as mine.
Yeah, I can do a 144 FPS on my monitor at home.
Why would you want that though?
Because isn't it like less latency? I think it's something like that.
Yeah, there's less screen tearing and less.
It looks more smooth.
Yeah, but basically what happens is the human eye, when you get above 60 frames per second, the human eye doesn't notice it.
You can't recognize it exactly.
Right.
But it's when you go below 60 frames per second is where your eye can start to notice it.
Yeah, of course.
And so, I mean, the difference is frame rates like go up and down. They fluctuate up and down. So if you go above 60 frames, it won't drop below 60 frames, basically, and you'll get less lag.
I see what you're saying.
So
that makes sense. But even still, we don't have the technology that can run 8K yet anyways.
No.
But it doesn't. 8K is so high that it doesn't even matter.
4K right now.
Yeah, but again, the human eye can't even see at 4K, so it doesn't even matter. Like my monitor can also run at 4K, and it's totally pointless.
Right, because you have 1080p.
Yeah,
yeah.
it's
bullcrap. It's a load of bullcrap, people. You're just paying more money for stuff that like you can't even see as a human. It's stupid.
Yeah. maybe one day down the line.
Yeah,
like our buddy. Who does the modding stuff?
Yes.
His character, the characters that he made to mod, have 16K files in them, and we're just like, "Why did you do that?" He's just like, "Because I could." Like, it doesn't make a difference on it. It's just because I could.
He also has the rig to be able to do stuff like that. His rig is absolutely nuts.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. But so I'm excited about that, even though I probably won't get it, but I would like to get it.
I'd get a PlayStation first.
That's true. I'd like to get a PS. I want all of them. Who am I kidding? I want all of them.
Yeah.
Can't afford all.
But I mean, I have a PC, so you know.
That's true.
But I know that if an exclusive comes out that I want, in the same way that I want a Switch. Yeah.
So one more quick piece of news, because I thought this was interesting. Google's actually getting in on the console market now. They're releasing their new system next year called, I think it's called the Stadia reveal.
Well, it's not just them. Atari's getting back in a game, and so is Intellivision.
Yeah, Intellivision's getting a new Earthworm Jim game.
Yep.
Yeah.
We get it for that.
So, I just wanted to point that out. That looks interesting. Their controller looks like a combination of PlayStation and Xbox One. It's literally like a giant ripoff of both. But
well, I mean, it's because both the systems have optimized. Like, we've optimized controllers.
Right.
Yeah. Like, why would we change a controller thing? Like, we're not going to make, like, an N64 controller again. Like, that would be dumb.
That would be awesome. What do you mean?
It was the most comfortable grip. You didn't even need one of the handles on there, but it was there anyways.
Your left hand was comfortable, your right hand's like, where do I go?
All right.
But yeah. Anyway.
And that was our E3 experience this year.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
I saw someone just posted this, a little bit about Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves is in a modern relevant video game with a lot of popularity, which means Keanu Reeves is now eligible to be put in Smash.
Yes.
If they do it, I will physically go out.
John Wick on Smash Brothers. Oh yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
I hope he's John Wick from Fortnite.
I don't own a Switch, but if they put him in Smash Bros, I would physically go get a copy of Switch and just to buy Smash Bros, just to have him on there, and then buy nothing else for the Switch.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. So we have one bit of fan service from Mega Daffy, Wicked Fan Mike, who wanted to just give a quick rundown of our. Last episode, talking about the human cruelty and monstrous side of humanity shown in Funan, also sounds a lot like Grave of the Fireflies, which is one of those movies that's like, I'll watch it, definitely, but it'll probably only have the chance to watch it once.
I still have to watch Grave of the Fireflies.
Yeah, right? I know. Akira Toriyama possibly being a collective number of artists is a person reminded him of the ongoing theory that the creator of Digimon franchise, Akiyoshi Hongo, is really a pseudonym for the creators of Tamagotchi. That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's really funny. As for the main topic, best anime movies I've seen so far, Pokemon movies are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Street Fighter 2, the animated movie. That's, I cannot believe we didn't mention that, because that is a fantastic film.
That is a really good movie.
Yeah. And that when, if and when the Konosuba movie comes out, that one will be good as well.
And as someone that has read Volume 5, I will say that that movie is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I can't believe I actually forgot to talk about the Saga of Tiny the Evil movie on last episode, because that's a fantastic one as well.
Yeah, right? There's so many things that we could have talked about, but we like to complain, you know?
People come and listen to us bitch more than praise things.
Yeah. Let's see. The Tekken motion picture was incredibly over-philosophical with a bunch of cliched movie-based bits in a fighting game. Street Fighter Alpha, the movie, was pretty disappointing. I agree with that one. The Street Fighter Alpha movie was not as strong as the Street Fighter 2 movie.
There wasn't a shower scene with Chun-Li in there. That's why it wasn't that good.
The Street Fighter 2 movie?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the only reason. But there is a version of that movie without the shower scene in it.
It's
the
Why?
Box. Yeah, the yellow box version.
The yellow box version. For kids. Like, seriously, for kids. And then the Frankenstein Fox dub of Digimon, the movie, started off okay, but went off the rails for the third act, which could only be described as some of kids' fanfic about Digimon.
Yeah, that's true.
That's awesome. And then, let's see, Battle Arena Toshiden. No. Just no. What is that? I've never heard of that actually.
One.
Yeah. Battle Arena Toshiden is like kind of like a variable geo type deal.
Oh boy. Okay. Let's see. Oh, there's Wicked Fan Sean Frostbeard the Porn Master said that Trigun Badlands Rumble was a really fun movie, and is true. That was really good.
That was a great movie. That's on the same vein as Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I agree. I although not as strong as the Cowboy.
It's
Bebop
not as good movie. As the Cowboy Bebop movie, but it's the same thing where it's just like, let's just take an adventure that they had in the middle of the series and then like throw them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But what's nice about that movie is that it actually ends with, like, the beginning of episode 14 of Trigun.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I never even realized that. That's really funny.
Because he mentions the two brothers or whatever, their next target.
Yeah. So it fits right in there. All right. Go with some shameless plugs.
Okay, guys. If you want to join in on our discussion about E3, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can comment and post and like on all the things that we post on there. And you can also message us and whatever. And you can also find us, of course, at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you may be listening to this podcast right now. But you could also be listening to this podcast on all your podcasting websites like Google or Stitcher or Podchasers or Acast or anywhere you can creatively think of where you might be able to listen to podcasts. Try to find us there. If we're not there, find somewhere else. You can also find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we have all the videos that Wicked Anime has ever made. I know you guys are more asking about more videos, which, hey, you never know. You might make a snack video again at some point. You guys were asking about a snack video, so all right, let's give it a shot.
I mean, you guys saw my new place. I mean, we got the perfect place to film it.
Yeah,
it looks like a kitchen in a cooking Food Network.
So it looks in a dorm?
Kind of.
Yeah, it does look like a dorm.
But we mean that in a great way, by the way.
It's fantastic. And then, of course, you can find us on all of our social medias. And by all of our social medias, I mainly mean Twitter. You can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime, which is a great place to find us. And hey, if you want to find me, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/AFLMArt. You can also find me on both Twitter and Instagram @AFLM_art, where you can message me about commission work or follow up on my progress on the current webcomic Solarian Sun that is about to be launched not too much longer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Hang out with us on Discord as well. You can find us on Discord, where you can also get I'll be posting Solarian Sun updates on there as well, but you're mostly there for Wicked Anime, I think. All right,
Evan.
All right, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at kingbabyduckesh and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bossandbassbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smash Rook. And I am just about to start prep work for Anime Expo. Me and 42 Believer Sarah are going to be heading down there at the beginning of July. We might shoot a couple of videos, including one involving Channel A, and fingers crossed we might get some big-time anime YouTubers involved with that one. Also, check out very soon a review of the upcoming motion picture, Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Arrow of Orion. I am looking at the link right now that I just got sent. I cannot wait to dive into this movie.
All right.
Awesome.
All right.
So, in the next episode of Wicked Anime, we're going to be discussing our preview and our predictions for the spring. No, sorry, the summer.
Summer!
anime. We're in spring. The summer season of anime. And we're going to talk about the shows that we were going to be watching and everything of that sort. So we'll be looking forward to that. I think there's going to be some good shows that we'll be looking forward to.
Dr. Stone!
Weightlifting.
Yep.
Look forward to that, and we'll talk to you all then. And until then, it's time to sign off the only way we know how.
Okay, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.